Hello, I'm George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel, everybody. Anyway, so this is about Nadine Dorries tendering her resignation. She was MP for Mid Bedfordshire since, my goodness, was it 2010? And she often likes to underscore that she comes from a working class background in Merseyside. She was a nurse. She's the only Conservative MP I've ever heard of who was a nurse, because nurses break heavily towards Labour. Public sector workers usually do. People below the age of 67, retirement age, people who've attended university, and of course, certainly since the 90s, it's been a degree subject. Okay, so Nadine Dorries was actually one of the better known Conservative cabinet ministers, and she was on the right of the party. She was a Brexiteer. All right, that's not necessarily a left-right issue, but she was a backer of Boris Johnson and Liz Truss to the bitter end. She was one of those who wanted to keep Boris Johnson in the cabinet, didn't join the Rishi Sunak revolt in July 2022, who was determined to keep Liz Truss. So, of course, since the 19th century, it's been technically impossible to resign from the House of Commons. What they can do is apply for an office of profit under the Crown, and that automatically renders them ineligible to be an MP, and so they're automatically out. But people say this is really just a legal fiction. Why on earth we have this bizarre antique rigmarole? Why don't we say it as it is? In common parlance, it's resigning from Parliament. And so then you're, in theory, what is it, steward and great chamberlain of the Chiltern Hundreds, which is like an estate in Buckinghamshire, the Chiltern Hills. A hundred was a unit of land. You go back to Anglo-Saxon times. A hundred was an area that roughly 100 families lived in. So that was a subdivision of a parish or something like that. And they would have a hundred moot as a meeting of the heads of 100 families once a month. There's a hundredman who was in charge, and the hundredman had to be literate, which most people weren't back then. Anyway, so I digress, as always. So she didn't even write to him, Dear Rishi. In the recent decades, they've addressed each other, even in official correspondence, by the Christian name, or perhaps I should say personal name, and not by the title. So she was reverted to old style form, perhaps indicative of a certain froideur between her and the First Lord of the Treasury. And so she begins by saying what an honour and privilege it was to serve the good people of Mid-Bedfordshire and so forth. So, yeah, and that she's been involved in politics for a very long time, and she's built up the majority from 8,000 to 25,000, one of the safest seats in the realm. And now another point is it's not safe anymore, and that's why she goes on to say the Conservative Party said, well, if you do want to step down from Parliament, please, could you hang on till December 2024, right? And then it'll be the general election, because if you stand down now, we'll have to face another by-election, and it might be an incredibly humiliating defeat. And the Conservative Party has suffered a few of those in recent times. You know, there was a triple by-election, and the Conservatives narrowly saved Uxbridge and what was it called, Northwood South, which was a Boris Johnson's erstwhile constituency, the northwest corner of London, by going on ULEZ, ultra low emission zone, saying we won't have that, even though Parliament has no control over that whatsoever. But nevertheless, it was sending a message to Sadiq Khan and Labour in City Hall. All right, so she held various positions. She was a Minister of State in the Department of Health and Social Care. Remember, there's a Secretary of State, as in a cabinet minister, and below him or her, there are three or four junior ministers, and the ministries or departments are subdivided. So, like, education's an easy example. There'd be a minister for primary schools, a ministry for secondary schools, a minister for universities, and so on. On the Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office, there'd be a minister for Africa, a minister for Asia, a minister for Europe, and a minister for the American continent, or something like that. So there she was, a junior minister like then. And later she was Secretary of State, the Department of Digital, Culture, Media and Sport. My God, what a mouthful. So she was there under Liz Truss, and she continued in the cabinet under Rishi Sunak. But the trouble is, she was offered the chance to continue, but she chose not to. Yeah, so that was a rebuff to him. So she said that she wanted to potentiate people to offer them greater opportunities. And as a former nurse, she believed that saving children is a priority. She's also a pro-lifer, saying, you know, if a baby's born at 23 weeks, the National Health Service will throw everything they have at saving that baby and sometimes succeed. But in the same hospital, there could be a baby at 40 weeks gestation, 40 weeks in the womb, who's being killed by the NHS just because he or she's got Down syndrome or something like that, and saying, surely that's immoral. You don't notice a certain anomaly here, a conundrum, a discrepancy, because even if you're an ardent abortionist, surely there's going to be something deeply wrong about being willing to save this child who's born at 23 weeks gestation. They usually don't survive, but also willing to kill a child who's far more developed. And that's ultimately discriminatory. And what she's done to try and get people to be tested for group B streptococcus when they are gravid and so forth, to reduce the incidence of neonatal deaths. She applauded her civil servants, things like that. But she later takes a swipe at the civil service, which is often a whipping boy for conservative politicians. Anyway, she really wanted to develop the tech sector in the United Kingdom, which is crucial, the quaternary sector, artificial intelligence and so on. She spoke to many chief executive officers, and they wanted a proper regulatory reform to make it a more business-friendly environment and to be able to be listed on the London Stock Exchange. But so many of this is going to Wall Street. And then she couldn't resist a swipe at him for being overdressed. Well, I mean, he is the prime minister. He is wealthy. He's expected to be smartly dressed. And nobody could fault his appearance. I know a woman who said, although he's rather short and weedy, he gets away with it because he's got excellent grooming. And conservatives, we're not going to be into envy. What is this palaver about him being affluent? That's good. We should applaud that, not execrate it. And saying that all he could say was how lovely it had been living in California and not offer practical solutions to get this crucial growth area in the United Kingdom. So anyway, she said that the cabinet secretary, Simon Case, had been plotting against her. Remember, he's the head of the civil service, supposed to be a neutral figure, as in if there's a Labour government, he'll continue under them. So he's the only non-politician to attend cabinet meetings. So she took aim at him, and that people have pleaded with her. She doesn't name them, not to stand down at that time because it was deeply uncongenial for the party. Anyway, she was aghast the way Boris Johnson and Liz Truss were taken down by their own cabinet. She considered this backstabbing. And she pointed out that five prime ministers have gone since 2010, none of whom was defeated in a general election. And it looks like Rishi Sunak is going to have the ignominious distinction of being the first Conservative to be defeated at a general election, Conservative PM, since 1997. So that is not a record of which anyone will be proud. So she said there was a democratic deficit, the way a PM can be elected by the people. Of course, PMs are not elected by the people, but then they could be brought down because they're poignarded by their own party. It's a sort of a Brutus moment and a brutal moment. Anyway, so she said that they were spreading dark rumors about her. They were dishing up foul legends in the press about her. That's not a direct quotation. And she even said that the cabinet secretary had impugned her reputation, had dishonored her by lying to a select committee and claiming that she'd been reported to the Whips and Speaker's office, which is not true, and that the civil service is no longer even-handed. It's actually very partisan. Conspiring against her. So, and she said, obviously, it was deeply distressing to see the PM turn against her, his own member of parliament, and they didn't want this early by-election. Anyway, so she says that there are people, there are actually threats to her safety, and the police have tipped her off about this. And anyway, so she said the country is run by a zombing parliament and really the Conservative Party's achieved nothing. Well, its underachievement, I think, is plain to see, and saying the PM doesn't have a mandate from the people. Well, that's true, but prime ministers never do. You vote for the individual candidate in your constituency, indeed the party. You don't actually get to choose the prime minister. We never, ever do. But all right, people do take it in consideration. Who's the leader of the party? Who will be PM if Labour or the Conservatives win? And she said, you know, 2019, when it's such a rosy situation, the biggest landslide since 1997, the biggest share of the vote the Conservatives got for 40 years, and that this wonderful legacy has been trashed, that Boris Johnson, he bequeathed to his successors such a commanding lead, and it's been wrecked. Well, actually, the 5% behind in the polls. She points out the Conservative Unionist Party is now 20% behind in the polls. And the things that she tried to shepherd through Parliament to do with social care, they were dropped. The online safety bill, that has been reduced in scope. The Mental Health Act hasn't been put forward. Defense spending has been cut at exactly the wrong time. Look at what's happening in Ukraine. And the Conservative Party seems to have abandoned its commitment to a net zero and so on. So she said that the corporation tax is now up to 25%, which spells death to new investment. The state is now spending 75% of GDP. So that's the highest since 1945. Cutting in immigration, stopping the boats, that has been a dismal failure. And Brexit has not delivered the benefits that were promised, and not enough EU legislation has been repealed, and so on. I don't see what's wrong with the Windsor framework, which he also talks again, and says there's still terrible inflation, and all right, he's been lucky with oil and gas and wheat going down, but it's still bad anyway. So, and she says that, isn't it shocking the way, even though Keir Starmer does not set the world alight, Labour is riding high in the polls. So about 200 MPs are going to be defeated, Conservative MPs. I don't think they'd be quite that bad, actually. On current polling, that would be the case. Anyway, she says that the whole thing has been undemocratic. All right. So that is what she's got to say. So it really is an acerbic attack on him, and actually quite fun to read. So anyway, make sure you subscribe to my channel. Donate on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo. Bye.